Thank you, men. Appreciate your leadership this morning and our worship together. It's good to see everyone. And we are indeed grateful that there are those that have the opportunity to be a part of the services by way of the means provided. And I send out an apology for concerning the Sunday school class. I forgot to turn on the cordless mic. Evidently, we have to have both microphones on for the people watching by way of Zoom to be able to hear us. But hopefully everything is going out, and those who want to worship with us are able to do so. John 3:16 is a very concise statement about salvation, yet it's comprehensive. It embraces so many of the truths of the gospel that have to do with salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But like some other statements of that nature that are concise and comprehensive at the same time, they can be misused by becoming a vehicle for the speaker to convey or to load upon it whatever viewpoints he may want to introduce into a lesson, his particular doctrine that may represent himself or some group, and then to bring into that carriage these things that are not expressed in the verse or anywhere else in the Bible. But as I said, Scripture can be misused like that. So that can be avoided. There's a very simple way to avoid doing something like that, and that is to study the Bible and to let the Bible guide a person's thinking. And once we accept the fact that the Bible is God's Word, that's, of course, the basic thing. And then second, we deal with our own attitudes toward the Bible, God's Word. Do I have the right approach to it, my heart, my mind, that I'm seeking to understand? Then we get into some guidelines for Bible study. And the first guideline, as you well know, is the context in which a verse of Scripture is placed. Now, we all are familiar with these little daily calendars, and they'll have a verse of Scripture on there, and they can be inspirational, encouraging, give some a helpful direction. But I've often thought about those that they mean more to the person who is willing then to take up the Bible and see what that verse is actually talking about in its setting in the Bible. Because God doesn't speak to us in slogans or little mottos. He speaks to us with teaching. And so there is something that goes before a verse, and there are things that follow a verse. So context is the number one guideline for all effective and profitable Bible study. And so it is with John 3:16. I have also listened to a lot of messages based on John 3:16, coming from a great variety of speakers and from many different backgrounds and with different purposes in those speeches. And one thing that I've noticed is that there will be a selection of ideas that are introduced from this verse that will be given some emphasis. I want to highlight a word in this verse that I think needs to be given more attention. And that's the word whosoever. And I think you will see in the context of John 3:16 that this word whosoever is given importance in the passage, that what is being said in this verse cannot really be understood without focusing on the meaning of the whosoever. And this is not the only verse in the New Testament in which the whosoever has great importance. And it's not the only passage in the New Testament having the word whosoever in which the whosoever is neglected and its importance is not seen. We've had reason to note that in times past in studies in the book of Acts and in Romans. And we may give some attention to that at a later time. But we're looking at John 3:16 this morning, and our study is focusing upon the whosoever in this verse. But whosoever believeth should not perish, but have eternal life. And I would like for us to see together that this fits the context of what John is talking about in this passage. Not only the immediate context, but the context of the whole Gospel of John. Because the whole Gospel of John is giving emphasis to this whosoever. And if that has any importance to you and me as individuals, I think we'll discover it if we pay attention to what John is teaching us by the Holy Spirit. So let's just begin right here, immediate setting of this verse, and back up a couple of verses. And notice what is said in verse 14 and verse 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth may in him have eternal life. There's an episode then from the Old Testament that is cited here as a comparison. And John has given us the word of the Lord on this, and it's evident from the Lord's word that he was taking for granted that the reader knew what he was talking about, and that if he didn't, he would go look it up or ask somebody about it. What is this Moses lifting up a serpent in the wilderness? Jesus thought that to be something that was important, that one needed to know as an illustration of the point that he was making about himself, about his teaching, and about the work God had given him to do for salvation. This is one of the components of salvation, the whosoever. So we turn back in our Bible to Numbers chapter 21. We find the episode that Jesus is talking about. The Israelites have been in the wilderness for nearly 40 years on their way to the promised land. The main reason they've been in the wilderness that long is because of their rebellion toward God, their unbelief and disobedience. They have been a sinful, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, rebellious people. God spared no words in describing them. So after 40 years, had they gotten rid of all of their rebellious spirit? No, it's still there. And it's there in a younger generation of people. So in Numbers chapter 21, they have left behind them the body of Aaron, their high priest, who died at Mount Hor. And they move on from there. In times past, they had so rebelled against God, they spoke against Aaron and Moses, the two brothers, high priest and the leader of Israel. Well, Aaron's dead now. But in this wilderness, as they make their way toward the promised land, near the end of the period of wandering, they come into a region like they've come into before, where there is a scarcity of water, and food is not plentiful. And this time, they speak against God and Moses. Why did you, and the you here is plural, not talking about Moses alone, but God and Moses, why did you bring us out into this wilderness? Sounded just like the ones who had rebelled against God before, 40 years earlier. And we have no water, we have no food, and we loathe, they said, this light bread that you give us. Talking about the manna that God gave them every day to feed them. We loathe it, tired of it. God acted immediately. He heard them all right. He sent fiery serpents among them. The serpent started biting the people, and the Bible says much people died. And the people then came to Moses, and they begged him for help. Moses prayed to God about it, and God said, you make an image of a fiery serpent. You put it up on a pole. And any man, every person, notice the emphasis there upon the individual. Any man, every person, that's your whosoever, Well, then, after he's been bitten by a fiery serpent, look toward this pole and toward this image. He'll be healed. And so that was established. The image was set up, and so it was. So if a person believed what God said about looking toward that pole with a fiery serpent on it, after he had been bitten by a fiery serpent, he'd be healed. If he believed, he would do what God said to do, and he'd be healed, or else he'd die. And many people did die. Paul referred to that episode in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 9, and he said they had made trial of the Lord, and many perished by the serpents. But whosoever, any person, every person, being so bitten that looked toward that pole, he'd be saved. Now that's the episode Jesus cites when he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth may in him have eternal life. The whosoever then would be any person. He didn't have to be from a special family in Israel. He didn't have to be some leader, some prominent person, some person who was special or thought he was special. No, it's whosoever. Whosoever took God seriously at his word, believed him, and did what God said to do, that individual would be saved. And so it is, Jesus said, with myself and with the way of salvation. Now that's the background of what is said in verse 16, that whosoever believeth, whosoever, that's the every person, any person who will do this will be saved. But there's more in this context, isn't there? And you Bible students know that already. At the beginning of this chapter, there's a man that comes to Jesus, and he is described for us as a Pharisee, and he is a ruler of the Jews, and Jesus calls him the teacher of Israel in verse 10. And he comes to Jesus, and he acknowledges the truth about Jesus when he says, we know you're a teacher come from God, because no one could do these signs that you do except God be with him. Jesus points immediately to the necessary response on the part of Nicodemus and others like him. You must be born again, verse 3, and again in verse 8. And emphasizes, don't be surprised about this, that I say to you, you must be born again. He describes this further in verse 5 as being born of water and the Spirit. In Luke chapter 7, verses 29 and 30, the gospel writer Luke there describes the way that the rulers responded to the preaching and the baptism of John the Baptist, in contrast with the way many people and even the repellent tax collectors, the publicans, responded to John and his baptism. And the point is made there that those rulers rejected for themselves the counsel of God in refusing to be baptized of John. This was God's blessing and offer of remission of sins to the Jews in that day in Palestine, that they might be prepared for the coming of Christ. And here were all these people, by the hundreds, perhaps by the thousands, even including the tax collectors, the publicans, believing what John said and being baptized with that baptism. And the rulers stood back and refused to do so. And the Bible says, they weren't rejecting John. They were rejecting the counsel of God for themselves. Here was God's blessing for their lives, and they refused it. And so Jesus speaks to this ruler of the Jews and says, you must be born again. And the you there is plural. It refers to a class of people that Nicodemus represented. John 7, verse 50 says that he was one of them, referring to the council in Jerusalem, the leading Jews of the land. They were the religious authorities, and Nicodemus was one of them. Nicodemus must do more than acknowledge Jesus as a teacher from God. He and others like him must respond to God's will for their lives. And so here is a whosoever in the context of John 3:16, and includes all this ruling class of the Jews. You think of their influence among the people and how that influence could have been used for good if they had responded to John and then to Jesus, for whom John made preparation by his God-ordained ministry. If they had responded to the Lord by doing what he said to do, and before that had responded to John and the preaching that he gave in the wilderness. This is a whosoever, and this is a part of the emphasis of John 3:16. Whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus thought he was of a class of people that because of age and training and experience could not start over again. How can a man when he's old be born again? Those are some words of Nicodemus I think that are often overlooked. Nicodemus didn't say, how could any person be born again, re-enter the womb and be born again? No, he said, how can a man when he's old be born again? Nicodemus had more insight than he's given credit for. He's thinking about himself and others like him that have long been in a certain way of life. And the whosoever says, that doesn't change a thing. The whosoever includes those who are older, who have been a course of life and a way of belief and training. They too must respond to God's Son and be born again, be born of water and the Spirit. Whosoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. But the whosoever includes other people too. And though we could say much more about Nicodemus and about Jesus' words there, we must look at this broadly because we're focusing not on one particular in this passage in John 3:16, except for the word whosoever. That's our theme this morning, whosoever. In John chapter 3, the disciples of John, verse 22, get into a dispute with some others about purification. But when they come to John, their teacher, they have a different question to put to him. It's related to the idea of purification. And so we read in John 3, verse 26, they came to him and they said, Rabbi, he that was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. You see that? You see the words, all men? We've said before, the Gospel of John has to be read very carefully because words sometimes are used with more than just one meaning. There are layers of meaning. One could say, well, they're just saying a lot more people are going to Jesus now than are coming to John. That was true. But John is recording this in order to teach something else. Here's the purpose of God, that all men come to his Son, all men. So here is that being enacted on a small scale, but one day it will be on a worldwide scale. What God has done through his Son is for all men. And therefore, no one can say in response to the gospel that somehow he is not included in that. Maybe his case is beyond repair or redemption. Or to think that maybe in his case, he doesn't need it. No, this is for all men. And John is going to illustrate that in some further ways as we go through this book. So we come to the end of chapter 4. And here is a nobleman, we're told, in verse 46. He's in Capernaum. He hears that Jesus is in Cana. But this nobleman has a sick son, and he goes uphill from down in the Sea of Galilee area up into Galilee to the city of Cana, and he finds Jesus. Jesus heals his son from a distance, and the man accepts what Jesus says, and he goes back, and on his way home, he finds out that his son was healed at the very moment that Jesus said that, and he believed. You see that in verse 53 in John 4. He believed, and all his house. That's a foreshadowing of some things you'll read later in the Christian age, in the book of Acts. He believed in all his house. Here's a man that was a nobleman. The word means a royal official. Nicodemus was an official among the Jews. Here's a man who's an official connected with the royal house. And the whosoever, he includes him. Whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. A high station in life, whatever it may be, a person's position in government or a place of prominence or influence in a society, does not mean that he is without need for the gospel. The gospel is for him too. Paul said that, first of all, I want to exhort you, he's speaking to the church, 1 Timothy 2, you pray for all men. Why do you pray for all men? And even for those in positions of authority. He goes on to tell us why. Because God would have all men to be saved. Those people too need to be saved. All men and those in high places of authority in the land. Pray for them. Pray for their souls. That by the gospel of Christ, they might understand that the whosoever includes them. And they too need to turn to God through his son. But in that same fourth chapter, we read that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Have you ever thought about how interesting that statement is in chapter 4, verse 4? He must needs go through Samaria. Well, I know some of you have. You've given deep study to the Gospel of John in your Bible classes. And you have learned that the necessity here is not geographical. There were other routes to go from Galilee to Judea without going through Samaria. And how great was the hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans, so much so that they often avoided going through Samaria to travel from Galilee to Jerusalem or from Jerusalem to Galilee. But Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Now, I don't know for sure all that's involved in that. But one thing that may be involved in it, because again, John uses words with layers of meaning, is that there is a divine necessity here in his service to the will of God. It's in this chapter that he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. That's verse 34. My very food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Could that be an explanation of verse 4? Why it was necessary for him to go through Samaria? Well, we can know this. We can know what unfolds from that point. He goes into Samaria and he meets the woman at the well who is a Samaritan. She goes back into town and she tells all the people there, here's one that's told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Christ? And they go outside the town to find out. And later they say to this woman, we believed at first because of what you said to us, but now we believe because we've heard his words. Jesus stayed there 2 days. And it's notable that it was the Samaritan people who said of Jesus, this one is the Savior of the world. Why is that so notable? Because Jesus said of his own ministry, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. During his ministry, it was mostly limited to what he called the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But here are people that are not considered a part of Israel, and they confess him to be the Savior, not of the Jews, not of the Jews and the Samaritans, but the Savior of the world. There's your whosoever. The whole world's involved in that. Did not John say God so loved the world? He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, let's look at John's gospel a little further. We go to chapter 9. Jesus heals a man born blind. This man is brought in for interrogation of all things by the enemies of Jesus. And as the matter unfolds, this man becomes a witness for the truth. And he shows himself to be quite astute in his understanding of the scriptures. They've spoken of Jesus as a lawbreaker and a sinner. This man knows that from the Old Testament, that in God's words through the prophets and the Psalms and Proverbs, that the Old Testament taught the Jewish people that they need not think that because they're Jews, God is going to hear their prayers. No, they must love God and obey his commandments. And if they live as rebellious Israelites and think God is going to accept their sacrifices and their prayers, then they're ignorant of his ways. Just like the Israelites in the wilderness, of whom God said, they did not know my ways. That's in Psalm 95 and quoted in Hebrews chapter 3. So we know he says God doesn't hear sinners. That's what he's talking about there, John 9:35. But here's a man that healed someone born blind. We've never heard of that happening at any time, anywhere in the world, in all the history of the world. Now, how would God support him and give him power to work a miracle like that if he's the kind of person you men say he is? He told them the truth. You know what they did with him? They cast him out. Read it for yourself there. Verse 34, John 9. They cast him out. That means they excommunicated him. They said that he is no longer to be considered a member of the people of God. They cast him out. He's cut off from the people. Use the language of the Old Testament. But what did Jesus do? He went to seek this man who'd been cast out, cut off from the people. And he guided this man to faith in the Son of God. There's your whosoever. Those who have been cast out by their fellow man and cut off and excluded, despised and hated, and abused. The whosoever of the gospel is for them too. And the good shepherd, as Jesus goes on to speak of himself, I am the good shepherd. Those words were spoken on this very occasion. And those Jewish rulers were listening to him when he spoke those words. They were not good shepherds, but he was the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for the sheep. And that leads to one more illustration of what is meant by this whosoever in John 3:16. Because Jesus said in John 10:16, in that speech about being the good shepherd, that I have other sheep who are not of this fold, and I must seek them. May be one fold, one flock of this one shepherd. He was talking about the Gentiles there. In John 12, there is a record that near the close of Jesus' ministry that some Greeks were in Jerusalem. They came seeking Jesus. This was at the time of the feast. And so they sought an interview with Jesus through Philip. Philip, getting the help of Andrew, presented this to Jesus. But what we have from Jesus is not a record of any interview with these Gentile people, but rather some words that had very much to do with his interest in the Gentiles. And among those words, we read in John 12, verse 31, now is the judgment of this world, now is the prince of this world cast out. Notice the word world there. It embraces the whole planet. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to myself. Not all Jews, all men. I will draw them to to myself. So then, you see what the whosoever of John 3:16 is teaching us. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It has in view all those who believe in Jesus Christ through the word of his disciples. That's the word of the gospel. That was to be preached by the apostles whom Jesus selected and trained, who remained faithful to him and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 17, verse 20, speaking to the Father in prayer, I don't pray for these alone, talking about those disciples, but for those who believe on me through their word. Not those Jews, but anyone who believes on him through the word of the gospel will be preached by those disciples. He prayed for them. They might be one. John 17, verses 20 through 23. When I read the whosoever in John 3, 16, I don't want to miss an important point for my own soul's sake. But I ought to be thankful every day that in that whosoever I can find my name and my life and my soul. That I have reason every day to praise God and thank him that the whosoever included me. And I know that you feel the same way. We ought to arise every morning with thanksgiving to God for his grace and mercy toward you and toward me. And thank him for that whosoever, John 3:16, and any place it's found in the New Testament with the same meaning. God forbid that we should ever think that somehow we are deserving of such love and of such a gift. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God forbid that I should ever think that somehow I was more deserving of that than somebody else. We together ought to praise God as the church that the whosoever included us, that our worship will truly honor him, and that understanding the meaning of that whosoever will be motivated with all our power, might, resources, and opportunity to do everything we can to help everybody in the world know that there is a place for each person in that whosoever. If you've not yet believed in God's Son, being born of water and the Spirit, the whosoever is speaking to you this morning, and you can confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and with your repentant heart, be born of water and the Spirit, you can be baptized in the name of your faith in Jesus Christ, and have your sins washed away. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.